Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today? Good. You had a good breakfast? Yeah, I had yogurt and walnuts in my cabin. I was going to say in my house. Let's start today. I just wanted you to know what we were going to be talking about. Today we're going to talk about educational and treatment resources for understanding substance abuse and addiction, all right? And I thought we'd begin. There's a picture of myself and my two daughters. Now, we had gotten up early one morning and decided to go to Salado and have breakfast. So we just got up, and my one daughter would not be happy that I'm showing you that picture of her, the one with the glasses, because she would say, oh, Mom, I look so goofy. So anyway, the reason I put that up is I want us to think about today when we pray Ephesians chapter 3. Why don't we pray for the people in our families? Yes, we can pray for the person who's struggling with alcoholism and addiction, but I thought we'd pray for our families. Tomorrow I'm going to talk more about the family system and then about AA and NA and the steps. But today, why don't we think about those other folks in our families that have been affected by the addict, okay? So with that in mind, Ephesians chapter 3, let's pray that together. Hold in your mind somebody in your family besides the addict or the alcoholic. For this reason, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Support is difficult emotional work, isn't it? It is a tough time when we are looking for support for ourselves and for our loved one. As you support your loved one struggling with substance abuse and addiction, you will find yourself feeling very alone. How many people have felt alone, like you're the only one who's struggling with this? I thought our support group yesterday was a really good thing. We met afterwards in cabin 22. We've switched that time today. We're going to meet at 1 o'clock over there, so those who want to can attend the Bible study afterwards. But in that support group, we talked more about how we were searching for information. And even in that group yesterday, one woman was able to tell another woman that, help me if I get this wrong, that they send a counselor to the city to help people in that city. And this lady, she thought, I didn't know that, because she couldn't find a counselor in her city. So when we support each other and we search for information, groups make a difference. So we're looking for support for our loved one, right? We can't make them go into the program, but we're searching out programs throughout the United States and our local area. They're hard to find. We don't know what's out there. And you need to find support for yourself. I'm going to mention a few drug and alcohol treatment centers, not because I'm trying to sell these places. There are so many, we would have 100 slides up there talking about different centers. I trust that God will lead and guide us to the right center for our loved one. The Hazelton Betty Ford Foundation has been around for 70 years. It's the largest nonprofit treatment center in the United States. There was a man in our group, Pat, I believe he had called them and found some answers to his questions and found a treatment center on the East Coast. Is that right, Pat? Okay, so he said he found one on the East Coast and one in Arizona. The Hazleton Foundation has residential and outpatient treatment centers. They have sober living options. I have a client right now who is in a sober living situation in Austin. This woman came to me saying, I want to stay off of alcohol. Her issue was alcohol. She saw me for 5 months, and you know, there was something, it just wasn't quite right. I didn't feel like she was really in a place that she was trying to be sober. She wasn't giving me all the information. Well, it turns out that she was coming to outpatient treatment with me, since I have my own counseling practice, that's outpatient treatment, because her family wanted to. But she wasn't truly stopping her drinking and consumption of alcohol. So after about 5 months, she came in one day and she was just crying. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, my family is doing an intervention this weekend. They're coming from two sides of the country and they're going to put me in a treatment center. Linda, I have been lying to you. And she had so much shame. And I said to her, you know, so many clients come to me. They're in the pre-contemplation stage or the contemplation stage. They're not quite ready to get help. She wanted to just have the appearance of good to her family. Yes, I'm trying to get help. So I said, I don't condemn you. You're forgiven. I'm so happy for you. Now this woman is living in a sober living situation. I had talked to her daughter, who was keeping in touch with me, and she said, my mom's going to come back to you when she gets out of her sober living situation and when she comes back home. That's good news. Hazleton Betty Ford Foundation also has specialized programs for nurses, physicians, executives, and others. I've had a couple pharmacists come to me who actually, you can imagine, got involved with taking their own drugs that they were supplying to others and then selling that to other people. They had to come to me and go through so many sessions in order to meet the requirements again with the pharmaceutical board. So that has been a process for them. There's children's programs available through the Hazleton Foundation, specific programs for families, and I encourage you to go to that website. There's so many resources for families. You can get educated just by clicking on the tabs. I get weekly video sessions from them, say they're 20 minutes long, just educating me more about what's happening in the world of addiction. Another center, which y'all know about, our son went to the Teen Challenge program in Bismarck, North Dakota. The name is a little bit deceptive in that Teen Challenge was really for adults. Now they have both adult and teen challenge programs. Texas has several of those. They have a non-residential program where you can just come on a daily basis and check in with the counselor. They have what's called a Stay Sharp program. Stay Sharp is a resource. If you wanted to be a volunteer for Teen Challenge, you can get this information and take it into the schools. That's what Stay Sharp is all about. So if you're passionate about helping kids, elementary, middle school, or high school, you can be that person that brings the good news to that school. Obviously, they have a substance abuse recovery program. A residential recovery program is what our son did for 13 months. They have programs for men and women. His program, there were men on one side, women on the other, but they had lots of their groups together. This was new for me. They have programs for couples. They have programs for pregnant women and mothers and infants where a mother can live and have her infant cared for while she's getting treatment. And obviously they have a program for teens, and they also now have prison programs where people will volunteer and go into the prisons. They also have counselors in the prison programs that are using the Teen Challenge curriculum. All right. Another center or treatment resource for you is called SAMHSA. It's the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. A national hotline number is 1-800-662-4357. At this website, you can find counseling services and treatment options for your state. Now, I'm going to start something now that I think of it. I have a tablet here, there's a piece of paper and a pen. I know I'm rattling off some resources for you here. If you want me to send you those through email, please put your name and your email address, and we'll pass it around the room, and I'll send those to you through email. Uh-oh. Does anybody know? Okay, thank you. All right. I'll talk a little bit more about this in a later slide. These are Christian treatment centers. One is called Hope by the Sea in California. Another is The Road Less Traveled in Florida. If you go to this website, www.newlife.com, you can find out more about them. There's a number you can call, and they will help you get connected to those two different places. I highly recommend these two. Okay, let's talk a bit about recovery groups, the two most common being Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. I have a friend of mine, when I mentioned her before. I was about 21, and she was 7 years older than me. She was 28. And she would come to my apartment where I was living with two other girls before I got married to my husband, and she'd be high on pot, and she'd be drunk, and she'd just be wailing at our door, wanting to talk to Linda. I wasn't a trained counselor at that time, but she felt safe with me, and so I'd talk to her for a little bit, but I knew that I wasn't going to get to the heart of the matter because she was so high. Just telling her that, you know, I care about you, Jesus loves you. This woman did not have the money. She was to go to a program. She was an assistant manager at a Taco Bell, so whenever she came to me, she smelled like tacos. And she always offered to us free tacos if we came by. You know, she wanted to give back. She wanted to give back because we were taking our time listening to her. She started coming to our small group and gave her life to Jesus. Now, for her, I can remember her saying to me, "Gotta go to a meeting right now, I gotta go." And in Austin, you could find a meeting almost any time of the day in some part of the city. So she helped me so much understand what it's like to go through treatment, because she'd say, "It's one moment at a time, Linda. If I have to go to a group, I'm gonna go. I need a meeting." So for a while, she used the meeting just as the meeting. And she'd say, "You know, I'm trusting in God and a higher power." Over time, God used the AA group that she went to and the NA group to bring her into a relationship with him. It was very exciting. I think I told you she was a social worker. She had worked at the Salvation Army, and she's been clean and sober for 31 years. Yay, God. Also, have you heard of the Celebrate Recovery Group? That's an international group now. It's with a Christian emphasis to the 12 steps. One of the sayings that some of these folks say to me is, "Linda, God never wastes a hurt." I learned so much from these people. We have one that at our church, and I have another client that goes to the Celebrate Recovery Group, not because she's struggling with alcohol and drugs. She's struggling just with life recovery. She has 6 kids. Her husband is deployed right now. She can struggle with obsessive worry. And so she decided she was going to stop drinking caffeine, which was really hard for her. And she used this group to help her do that, to stop drinking caffeine. She no longer has anxiety. She had been having panic attacks. She goes to Celebrate Recovery, and she works the steps. We'll talk more about step studies tomorrow, the 12 steps of AA and NA and Celebrate Recovery. There's adult children of alcoholics. I would be the granddaughter of an alcoholic, since my mother's father was an alcoholic. I don't know if there's a group like that, but I could create one. You know, we have an Al-Anon, Alateen, Cocaine Anonymous, Crystal Meth Anonymous. The hard thing to do is to find where these groups are, right? They're not in Alpine. Where are they? It's hard to get to these places. Emotions Anonymous, Families Anonymous. I have another client who goes to a VA NAMI meeting, which stands for National Association. Whoops, I put National Associate of Mental Illness. It's in Temple, a VA program there. Her son has schizophrenia, and some of the other folks have family members with schizophrenia. They will also have a family session where families get together with their son or daughter who's struggling with schizophrenia and meet there. This group is helping her a lot. It meets once a month. That's also national. So Food Addicts Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous. I had a couple folks coming to me with a gambling addiction. They had to travel to Austin. There wasn't one in Central Texas. But that tells me that they wanted to get better. They were willing to travel. Heroin Anonymous, Marijuana Anonymous. I'm sure we could think of a lot of different groups that meet. And you may have knowledge of others. Please let me know if you know of some other groups. Moving on, there's Sex Addicts Anonymous, Online Gamers Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Pills Anonymous, Codependents Anonymous. I told you more about the book yesterday called Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend. There's an additional chapter in that book on dealing with media and online gaming, things like that, on how to work with your kids. Finding support for yourself. Now, your family might not be the strongest place for you to get support because they might be in the stage where they're blaming you and telling you it's all about your parenting. It's what you didn't do. I'm sorry if that's happening. Maybe they'll learn in the process, right? So some of us have family members that we can depend on. Others of us don't. We can create family. Friends are the family you choose, if you've heard that saying before. Your church, you can ask people to pray for you. You can find spiritual strength in your church. When my husband and I moved from Austin, Texas to Bismarck, North Dakota, and he was the senior pastor there, I started a group out of my own necessity. I started a depression anxiety support group. I had been through, in my early 30s, a very anxious, I was so anxious at one point, I was using 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5, take every thought captive in obedience to Christ, for we do not wage war the way the world does, etc. And I had been doing that, I don't know, for a good 6 months. It wasn't working. It didn't help me. I was trying to take a Bible verse and make it work for me. And maybe we'll tell this story at another camp in the future. Briefly, our family was en route to go to the country of Turkey. We had raised our prayer support. We had raised all of our financial support. My husband had an identity as a music type entrepreneur, producer of music, working with somebody in Texas with a contemporary Christian artist here. We had a perfect scenario, and we were 3 days away from buying our tickets. And he was in Houston, and he called me and he said, "Linda, I'm about ready to buy our tickets to take our family." Our kids were 5, 3, and 1 years old, over to Turkey. I said, "Honey, I can't go. I need help." I'd woken up that morning having a dream that I was calling our doctor's office. And I needed help. I got on medication for anxiety. I was at a point where I was afraid of my next thought. That was really scary. And my friends who were in AA and NA said, "Linda, sometimes it's a moment at a time." So I went to AA with my friends. And I learned so much just to get out of the cycle of the fear of fear, if you've ever had a panic attack. Anyway, I recovered from that. We did not go to Turkey. We had taken Turkish at the University of Texas, and we had a fellow, our professor was from Istanbul. What an interesting man. The church that my husband ended up pastoring for a short while after that, the organist's wife was a Turkish woman. She was a Muslim. She herself was struggling with depression. And guess what happened? God brought Turkey to us in the United States, and she became a Christian. Her kids were baptized. The depression and anxiety I went through wasn't a loss. Even if that one person, who knows how God will use this wonderful lady. So what did I do when we went to Bismarck, North Dakota? I started a depression anxiety support group. I started what I needed. I was an entrepreneur, a codependent who had recovered. An entrepreneur, right? We can be that. And I started this group, and here's the exciting thing. In Bismarck, North Dakota, we have a lot of Protestants, basically, and a lot of Catholics. And what happened was the church we were a part of was more of a community church, and we'd have people, a marriage that would represent a Protestant and a Catholic, they couldn't find a church to settle on for their family, so they'd come to the Bismarck Community Church. It was a middle road for them. And I was amazed at how many people came to this support group. It wasn't a support group of five. It was a support group of many different support groups. 55, 60 people came from the community. And to make a long story short, what happened was our church, as a Protestant church, would hold a support group 1 month, and the next month we would transfer over to this Catholic church. So we had Protestants and Catholics sitting side by side and getting along, which was a big deal in the community up there. So what did I do? I created the support group that I needed. We went through a video series called Changes That Heal by Dr. Henry Cloud. Great book. That's another great book, Changes That Heal. And I learned more about myself being the granddaughter of an alcoholic. And obviously the treatment center where some of your loved ones are, they offer family therapy. RMA was the Rocky Mountain Academy. We had a parents' weekend. We had a family week. I went out there. My husband was deployed. I took my girls. My mother-in-law even came with us on one trip. And we took our dogs. We had to have them. Plus, our son wanted to see the dogs, you know. How many people are dog lovers here? Yes! I don't know if we love the dogs out here, though, right? I've heard stories about that. Okay. So, boundaries for sharing your story. So say you find a friend or a group of people and you feel pretty safe with them. Have you ever been a part of a group where people overshare and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't think they should have shared that much information. That's a bit too personal. Or you might feel like a person is disrespecting their spouse, right? So I'm encouraging you to be in a group where you can feel as if you're emotionally safe. You can trust yourself. You can trust yourself. Can you trust the people? Can you trust that group? In an AA group, everything that is said there remains there, right? Same with our group yesterday. Everything that is said there remains there. I'm not going to go tell people about that, and I'm trusting that the people in our group are not going to go talk about what's going on in each person's life. Also, there's the danger of sexual and physical attraction. I can't tell you how many people have come to me who have gotten to the point where they're drinking too much alcohol. Just the week before I got here, I had a young man come in who said that he crossed the boundary. He's a Christian. He realized, I'm drinking too much. And he and a married woman were kissing for the night. They didn't go farther than that. And he thinks that his life is going to fall apart because of that. Anyway, that's ongoing. It's devastating what alcohol does, right? Your inhibitions, you don't have them. So be careful. If you are not the addict yourself and you're sharing your story with somebody else and you find yourself being attracted to someone, listen to your heart, because that's where affairs start. They start first with an emotional connection. And when you feel lonely and you are helping your loved one, that loneliness can lead you to a place that you don't want to go. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about resources. I have a Bible called the Life Recovery Bible. It's the New Living Translation. This book is awesome because it takes the 12 steps. It's the Bible. It takes the 12 steps and it gives you scripture. to go with each step. I am working through this. I'm doing a step study myself, because the first step is what? Can anybody tell us what that is? Uh-huh. We admit that we are powerless over alcohol or whatever. And our lives have become unmanageable. We are powerless over pornography, food, shopping, maxing out our credit cards. You can put whatever you fits for you. This is great. This is an excellent, excellent Bible. Also, the Arterburn Wellness Series. Dr. Arterburn is connected to New Life Ministries. That'll be on my next slide. He just wrote in 2018, Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression, with Alcohol or Drug Addiction, with Schizophrenia, with Borderline Personality Disorder, with a person who has an eating disorder. There's eight of these. They're simple reading. It's not that you're going to find a bunch of technical terms in here that you can't understand. These are great books. I mentioned Codependent No More by Melody Beattie, How to Stop Controlling Others and Start Caring for Yourself. One man who came to me, whose wife, I said, couldn't get out of bed. She was in bed. It got to be 6 out of 7 days. I suggested he read this book. This guy is about 68. He read Codependent No More, and it made all the sense. He's committed to his wife. He's a strong Christian. He's a leader in his church. Is he codependent? Well, what he needed to do was differentiate from his wife, take care of himself, continue to have fun in life, and still care for his wife. And so he had started to cross over to become, he was becoming depressed. And he was thinking, I don't have a life anymore. So he read Codependent No More. It made all the difference for him. And then again, the book called Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend. I have 10 boundary books in my office, and I give those away to people. Those are great books, boundaries with kids, boundaries in marriage, boundaries everywhere. It's a really good book. And yesterday in our support group, I mentioned a book called Telling Yourself the Truth by William Backus and Marie Champion. That is a great book too, in that it's speaking the truth to yourself in whatever situation you're in. And isn't that what we do with God's word? His truth informs us. His truth cuts through the lies and the deception we might be believing. His truth brings us freedom. Alcoholic Anonymous, the Big Book. Have any of you ever read a story from the Big Book? The fourth edition is out now. That's a great book to read stories of people who have been there and what the process has been for them, how they got to the place of overcoming alcoholism. New Life Live Radio, connected to newlife.com, and those two Christian recovery centers, one in California, one in Florida. I have listened to newlife.com or New Life Live, which is a call-in radio talk show since 1997. That's 21 years since I had gone through my own depression. People call in there just regarding, how do I parent my child? What do I do in this situation with my stepchildren? I'm married for a third time. I have a wonderful husband. I can't believe I have a wonderful husband. Things like that, they call in about everything. It's not just drugs and alcohol. It's just living life. If you can find that, in Central Texas, I listen to 1010 AM. It's on that station. New Life Live, you'll hear from Dr. Henry Cloud, Stephen Arterburn. Do you know these names, any folks? Yeah. They're some of the top Christian psychologists here in our nation. They have intensive workshops. I've sent some of my married couples to their marriage retreats. They have counseling referrals. I need to get on their counseling referral if they'll accept me. And you can call them and say, hey, this is where I live. Where's the closest counselor who's a Christian that you have certified? The number is 1-800-HELP, the number 4, and then the word ME. One of the articles I read in preparing for this session was in this magazine called Neuroscience, Pathways to Alcohol. You can Google that and find more articles to read. And lastly, substance abuse treatment and family therapy. Even if you're not a counselor, you can go to it's quantumunit.ed.com to just learn to have more knowledge about what's out there and how to help your loved one, how to help yourself. Okay, Philip Yancey had this quote. I have a book that I read every day. It's 100 Prayers, written by Stephen Arterburn. And in there, the quote for today was, "The Bible is the Christian's guidebook, and I believe the knowledge it sheds on pain and suffering is the great antidote to fear for suffering people. The Bible is a Christian guidebook, and I believe the knowledge it sheds on pain and suffering is the great antidote to fear for suffering people. Knowledge can dissolve fear as light destroys darkness. When our son went through his struggle, we read so many things, as I imagine you probably have too. And I found myself getting frustrated at one point, reading all these different books and realizing, you know, the greatest book that we can read is the Bible. Yes, we need this other knowledge, but the Bible, God's word, truly sets us free. I used to beat myself up a little bit and think, okay, I need to have a quiet time every morning, sit there for 30 minutes, pray, thank God. And it was almost as if I was addicted to having to have that quiet time. And if I did that, then I was a good Christian. Well, what I do more often these days is I'll take one Bible verse and I'll meditate on it for a week. That's what I've done more than a week, Ephesians chapter 3, that prayer. And the more I've done that, the Lord is just filling my life with inspiration and promises. So one of the verses that I have meditated on is, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So if you take that verse and you sit with it for a month, and you sit in a quiet space, whatever time of the day that works for you. Some people are morning people, some people are night people. And just sit with that verse for a minute. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So what do we want faith to do for us? And you just sit with that verse. And you say, "Lord, bring to mind the things that you have for me today. What do you have for me today?" Now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So I sat with that verse. God is love. One of our first verses we probably learn as Christians is, "For God so loved the world." Think about that. I mean, just really let that marinate. God is love. The greatest gift that we can offer our loved ones who are struggling is love. Yes, love has boundaries. But it's love. God is love. We can love because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now lives in us. That's a gift that we have. Yes, we have all these other resources, but we have God's Spirit living in us. Is that amazing? I imagine that you can go somewhere and you might talk to a grocery attendant or a sales attendant in a store. I don't know about you, but after a few minutes, I can, there's a spirit about some people, right? And I'm to the point where I go, we get talking about Christianity because I know they're a Christian. So I want to say, trust your instinct. Trust the voice of the Holy Spirit in you when you're talking to folks. Resource God's Spirit, His love working through you. That is what is going to reach your loved one. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't act. It's Jesus and you partnering together and saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? When I see clients in my room in Temple, in my office, the Christians that come, sometimes they come, well, whoever it might be, they think that I have all the answers for them. And they elevate a counselor. Well, the longer I'm a counselor, the more I know that I don't know. Right? And the longer we live in life, the more we realize we don't know. And that's where wisdom comes in, God's wisdom. So I tell them, I said, I'm just relieved today because I have two people in this room counseling you. They go, what? I said, the Holy Spirit is here, the greatest counselor on earth. He will work in and through me and in you, and together we'll come up with a plan for treatment. So I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. My father used to say that to me. I had told you earlier in the week that he was 45 when I was born. My mother was 38. They tried for years to have children. And he used to say to me, Linda, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he would say, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. That was the only Bible verse my dad really shared with me. And after I got married, he told more stories to my husband about his time in war. He was in World War II. He was wounded in Northern Africa, and he sat in a foxhole for 2 days. A mortar round had come his way. All of his buddies were killed. He was in that foxhole for 2 days in pain, thought he was going to lose his left leg, and the Red Cross came around. He was in Germany for a while and then in California, but he became addicted to morphine because the pain was so bad. And he tells the story, I didn't know a lot of these stories until my husband, who came around, joined the military at age 39, and him and my dad talked for hours about the military. My dad said, you know what got me through? There was a nurse that helped me there who said, Art, you can do this. You can do this with God's help. So that's one of the things he would say to me is, Linda, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. He had to recover. They cut his sciatic nerve and stretched it, pulled it. They saved his leg. My dad came up with little inventions back then to support his leg. He took a coat hanger, a real thick coat hanger, and a piece of leather and made a brace support for his leg. And do you know that years later, the VA took that little invention he'd made and made one themselves, and they used it in the VA. And of course, it's a lot different now. But how neat, my dad thought, he was really fired up about that because he'd send his patents and he'd get things patented, in Washington, D.C. And he was hoping that later, you know, these things would be used. So he was a fun man. Anyway, I share that because his life impacted my life. Maybe you're going through something physical. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Maybe you need to rehab a knee replacement. It's God who gives us the strength to do these things that we do. Whoops. So, in summary, our greatest resource is God. We have a resource. We have many resources here. I want to encourage you to talk to each other today. Let others know the places you've been with your loved one, and see if there's a way that they can help you. So let me pray for us, and I think it's 9:30, is it? We got a couple minutes. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the community of believers gathered here. Thank you, Lord, that the body of Christ is full of rich resources. We have you, we have your word, we have the body of Christ. We can learn so much from each other. Help us, Lord, to lean on you. Help us to believe. Help our family members who are watching on the sidelines as we go through these things to see you in our love for those who are struggling with drug and alcohol addiction. Lord, we trust you today. We have faith in you to bring back those who are dead in their sins to life and then to a future of redemption one day at a time. Lord, you never waste a hurt. And although it might be very, very painful in the moment, and we think that we're never going to be a different person or free from this pain, Lord, together we choose to believe that you are committed to saving our loved ones. We ask for their protection today, and we ask that your loving kindness would lead them to repentance so that they might depend on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I didn't tell Annette this, but I'm wondering, Annette, would you come up here and just say a couple things, what has happened for your son? Would you be comfortable with that? Just the answers to prayer. And you have 2 minutes, okay? 2 minutes.
Two or three.
Can I not use that? Oh, you don't have to use the mic. Well, okay. Would you, though? Because it's recorded. Can I just hold it? Pretend that.
Okay. That you're a fairy or something?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Annette. My 17-year-old is a meth addict, severe meth addict, since 12. And he's been in 6 placements. And I just took him last week to one in Austin. And took him on Wednesday. He self-discharged on Sunday. And ended up in downtown Austin. And ran into, as they told me at the center when he showed back up, bawling, that he ran into an old Austin hippie who sat down with him and said, "Son, you don't need to be me." And found a piece of paper, wrote down all these motivational things and said, "Son, I need you to go back." And my son went back. They typically don't let them readmit whenever they go. We decided no news was good news, let's kind of take a step back from each other. I got a voicemail yesterday that from his counselor that his exact words were, "I don't know if y'all are praying for that kid, but he is now a leader and fully engaged in the program, and he's an amazing kid, and we are here to help him." So thank God for the Austin hippie. So.
Isn't that beautiful? So there's an example how God is not dependent on you only. He's going to use the community and an Austin hippie. Yeah, so we'll keep praying for Avery. Okay, that ends our time today.